We hope you enjoy listening to this weekly podcast from Lifeline Church. Find out more by visiting lifelinechurch.co.uk.
Let's try that again. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Okay. Hey. Okay, so this is the last of episodes on 1 Kings. And it's just worked out that we've got 22 chapters in 1 Kings and we've got 22 episodes. But it's not worked like that the whole way through. Here's the Slido. So because we ran out of time in our last episode, I've only got like half a message for us today. And instead of going away and recording the our responses to questions put on Slido, we're going to take some time at the end today to try and answer those. So we've had no time to prepare, but we'll try and respond to some of the things that you've said. So I'm going to ask the team who have been involved in helping prepare this whole series be part of that with us. So they come up at the end. So if you want to ask questions, we will hopefully respond to them now, access them live and be able to respond to them. So after we've done this King series, rather than going to 2 Kings, we've decided that really for what God's been saying to us recently, it makes more sense if we take some time in Acts. So probably around about May, we're going to start a series on Acts. Because if you think, if God's talking to us about households together, so that kind of the unity of the body, ministering the Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, and about a sharper witness, I mean, Acts seems to be quite a good place to base ourselves. So we'll be doing that in the spring. Right, okay, so let's have a little recap of where we're up to. So, as we went through the story last time, we saw that we've got King Ahab, who is a pretty bad king of the northern kingdom of Israel. And we see a good king of Judah, Jehoshaphat. They team up. And Ahab is suggesting, hey, help me conquer back some land that that Aram have. Come join me in battle. And so Jehoshaphat says, oh yeah, sure, let's do that. But actually, wait, let's consult some people of God first. And so Ahab calls for his 400 prophets. We're not quite sure what gods they were prophets to. But Jehoshaphat said, like, come on, is there no one that would speak for the Lord? And this is where Ahab has that great line. Well, there is one guy, but I hate him because he never says anything good to me, only bad things. But anyway, he brings Micaiah out of the dungeon to come bring God's word. Effectively, the word was, if you go into this battle, you will be destroyed. So anyway, they go into the battle. And Ahab says to Jehoshaphat, right, when we go into the battle, I'm just going to dress as a normal soldier, kind of in disguise, but you dress as a king, that'll be great. And Jehoshaphat said, okay, yeah, sure, why not? So they obviously pick out the high-value target and they start chasing Jehoshaphat. And when he screams out, they realize, oh, that's not Ahab, that's Jehoshaphat. He must have a very unique scream that even people from another nation would recognize him by his scream. Then it says, an archer at random drew his bow and shot an arrow. So he wasn't particularly targeting anyone, and that arrow hits Ahab, finds its way through the armor, and he ends up dying from that. So last time when me and Jonty were teaching on this, we drew out a couple of points from that chapter, this chapter so far, which was how to pick and maintain healthy friendships, because Jehoshaphat kind of threw his lot in with a bad guy. And we talked about what do we see about how do we love and accept but yet not allow ourselves to be fooled by weaknesses that our friends have, and how do we remain faithful to them. And we took a bit of time talking about hearing God. And so we titled the last episode Deceiving and Deciphering. And so deciphering, kind of hearing, understanding what God's doing, even when things seem a little bit mysterious and strange, and the idea that we can actually hear the voice of God. He wants to communicate with us, and we can expect to hear him and unfold or decipher what his will is and what the situation is for us. And so we saw the need for that because there's a lot of deception going on. There was the lying 400 prophets that had been sent a deceiving spirit from the council of God, which was pretty strange. We see the lie of Micaiah, where he first says, "Here, yeah, go for the battle." And then Ahab says, "No, that can't be God's word." And we even see the deception in Ahab's disguise. But then we also saw deciphering, an ability to hear God. So Jehoshaphat discerned that those 400 prophets were not speaking for God. He deciphered that. Even Ahab could discern that Micaiah was lying, and he didn't fall for that either. And so there's a whole thing about deceiving and deciphering. But today I want to talk about the idea of finding its mark. So I won't read over all of the story again because I just recapped that. But the topic that I really feel that God's drawing out of this for us is this idea of integrity. And so integrity is actually a word that is a little bit more in our common day vocabulary, and it's quite a popular concept. So this is what Stephen Lovegrove, I've never heard of him, but he had a great quote, and he's a civil servant, so probably it's good. But he said, "Integrity is a life where your beliefs and intentions are aligned with your words and actions." That's pretty good. Beliefs and intentions aligned with your words and actions. One of the things that we've often said here is wholeness of heart, where your thoughts, attitude, reactions, and actions genuinely reflect what we believe. There's another way of saying the same thing, but different people might find others sit better. More simply put, say what you mean what you say, and do what you believe. And so we're talking about the concept of transparency. You are on the outside what you are on the inside. And that idea of wholeness comes up a lot when we're talking about kind of a synchronicity of everything kind of coming into alignment. So our integrity is shown if we do the same thing when no one's watching that we would do when everyone's watching. A friend of mine that was very active in kind of the NGO world, international development, he said when he's trying to work out why a company exists, he doesn't look at the mission statement, what they claim to live for. He looks at their bank accounts and how they use their money, because that's actually a more reliable way to work out why this company exists. How do they use their resources? And so within integrity, we talk about this kind of simplicity of synchronicity. You like that? I think I came up with that. I don't think I've plagiarized it from anyone else, or at least I'm not giving credit to anyone else, so it's mine. So Mark Twain said, if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. How often do you get into a situation where you make a lot, you tell a lie and you think, oh, what have I already told these people that I've got to keep going? There's something simple about having integrity. This old story of the emperor's clothes, or the emperor's new clothes. The whole idea is these guys have tricked him to say, right, give us all this really expensive gold fabrics, and we're gonna make you the most wonderful gown, kingly clothes. And they were pocketing it, and then they were just producing nothing and said, oh, only smart people can see this. Now the king said, oh, I want to appear smart even though I can't see it, so I will pretend that I can see these things. And everyone in the kingdom was told, only smart people can see this. So everyone said, oh, wonderful, wonderful clothes. And the guy's walking along in his pants. The simplicity comes when the child looks up and says, he's in his pants! And suddenly the spell was broken, the deception was exposed. Just a simple truth caused it to hit its mark for everyone to see in that moment. Truth has a liberating effect. Jesus talked about knowing the truth and the truth will set you free. Also talks about walking in the light, and then we have unity with each other. There's something about being honest and open, having integrity, that just makes life a little bit easier for us. And in this clip now I'm going to play from you from Friends, you'll also see what happens when we don't live in integrity.
I'm telling you, I like the food.
You like the Purple Rain display.
Hey, Bob. Hey, Toby. Have a good night. Did that guy just call you Toby?
Yeah, he thinks that's my name.
Well, why don't you correct him?
Oh, it's been going on way too long now. You know, I mean, the first time he said it, we were just passing each other in the hallway, so I didn't say anything. And then the next time he said, hey, Toby, you want a donut? And I wanted a donut. And now it's 5 years later, the donut's gone, and I'm still Toby.
5 years? Chandler, you have to tell him.
No, that would be so awkward. Look, besides, we work in different departments. He's on the sixth floor, you know, so he calls me Toby once in a while. What's the big deal? Could be worse. It's not like, hey, Bob.
Hey, how's my pal Toby doing today?
If I see him, I'll ask.
Ah, Toby!
No.
Hey. Was that Bob from six you were just talking to?
Yeah, that was him.
Well, then you know each other.
We're on a semi-first name basis.
What do you think of adding him to our team?
Bob? Ooh, working here with us? Every day? Yeah, I don't know if he has what it takes.
Really? They love him down on six.
But this is 11. It's almost twice as hard up here.
Okay, I hear you loud and clear. Bob will stay put.
I think it's best, sir.
Hey, Toby, you got a sec?
Sure, what's up?
I just had a meeting. I was actually hoping to get transferred up here, but I just found out it's not going to happen. Apparently somebody thinks I'm not 11th floor material. Say, who the hell is this Chandler?
Hey, Bobby.
It's Bob, actually. Hey, you work up here. Can you tell me where this Chandler Bing's office is?
Yeah, it's right there. Yeah. Let me ask you why.
I want to talk to that. See what his problem is.
Okay, Bob, listen. I'm the reason you can get the job up here.
Toby, don't.
Bob.
Toby, I'm not going to let you cover for him. Anything you say right now will just get me more upset with Chandler.
Well, that puts me in a difficult position. Bob.
I just found out this is Chandler's office. Come on, Toby, give me a hand.
Gets a bit complicated when we don't live our true selves and what's going on for us. So let's jump back to this story. How did each of the characters manage in terms of integrity? Well, we see Micaiah. He made a statement when the prison guard came to get him. The prison guard said, all of the other prophets are saying go for battle. Just agree with them. It'll make life easier. He said, I can only say what God gives me to say. And he stuck with that, even though the consequences meant that he was dragged back down to the dungeon. But he stuck with what he believed to be right. And he did pretty well on that front. Ahab, he presents as a king, but he dressed as a normal soldier. He presents the idea that he and Jehoshaphat are going to go into this battle together, and yet he kind of hangs Jehoshaphat out to dry. Jehoshaphat, he's a good guy, but he claims to want the word of God, and then when he gets the word of God, he ignores it. So there's a kind of a lack of integrity in that. And the prophets were only interested in saying what they knew wanted to be heard. So, yeah, mixed what was going on for there. So it made me think a little bit about that disguise that Ahab put on and how that was the opposite to being true to who he actually was. I thought he'd almost be that guy. How might you put on a disguise? Yeah, presenting everything's all right when it's not. I had some thoughts. So some simple things such as lying, exaggerating, half-truths, white lies, kind of some of the stuff that you were saying. Presenting yourself or your case in a favourable way. So I'll say it like this to this person because that will kind of ease them into it. That would be more popular. Saying, kind of doing things in a way so it's when your kids come and give you a hug and tell you how much they love you before they present you with their next request, which you know you're not going to give them. Sometimes it can be as simple as just condoning something through silence. You know something's being discussed, something's going on, and you just choose not to say anything, not to address it. That's kind of wearing a disguise. Sometimes it's the way that we use our resources. Those resources, whether it's our time, our energy, our money, don't match our beliefs. So if you were to look at your outgoings in your bank account, do you think that shows what you believe? Could someone look at your bank account and think, ah, this is what this person stands for? Or do you think there might be a little bit of unsyncrasy, is that a word? Insyncrasy. We got to remember that it's not just sins of commission, things that you do that you shouldn't do. It's also the things that you don't do that you should do. We can easily do what Simon was saying, where someone's upset you, but you don't really want to present that, so you just try and kind of push it all down so that you present that you're fine when you're not really fine, rather than kind of addressing and confronting the issues. But then we can also be on this other way of, I'll tell people what I think of them all the time. I'm going to just fire my bullets at them, get it off my chest. Well, is that integrity if I also claim to believe what the Bible says, that we to bear each other with patience and love and correct in love? To me, that actually lacks integrity if I just offload my irritation with you. Maybe I'm saying how I feel, but am I expressing my beliefs? I'm not sure if that's true. And then there's the other idea of, okay, so it's my alarm goes off, it's 7:30 or 7 in the morning on a Sunday, I was hoping for a lay-in, I'd forgotten that I'm on setup. Well, I don't really feel like doing setup, so I probably shouldn't do it because it doesn't really express how I'm feeling right now. That's integrity, right? You don't want to express something that you're not feeling. Yeah? No? Why not?
It doesn't match your beliefs.
Yeah. So there's a greater truth than my belief. There's greater truth than my feeling. It's my belief. If I have chosen to put God first, what he wants matters more than my feelings. So at that point, I'm saying, God, cause my feelings to come into line with what I believe. And I believe that you are Lord of all. And this is what you've got for me today. This is an expression of love and service. If I was only ever to treat my kids based on how I feel about them, they probably wouldn't get fed some days. So I've got to go to a deeper truth, a truth of what I believe, and then work through that. But sometimes I can't reach my beliefs. I can't reach my feelings. They're difficult to get to. And that's a bit of a challenge. Jonty, come tell us how corrupt you were.
Great. Thanks, Jamie. Yeah, so when I went to secondary school, I didn't bed in particularly well. I think the kind of all of the nice roles in secondary school had already been filled. There was the smart one, there was the kind one, there was the people that were excellent at sports. And so I kind of filled the gap in school, which was to just kind of mess around and cause as much chaos as possible. The issue and the reason why it links to sort of integrity is because at the same time, I just sort of left my parents' vineyard church that they'd sort of set up, and I was growing in my own faith. And on Sundays, I decided to move to the local, to rebel and go to the local Anglican church, which had like a fancy new worship pastor. And I was really excited about getting involved. So I was getting involved in the worship team. I was sort of one of the few youth that were in the church. And so I was really growing in my faith on the Sunday. But in midweek, wasn't quite going in the same direction. So a particular story that kind of highlights the ridiculousness of this situation was in year nine. I had quite a lot of detentions. It was a record-breaking year, actually. I think they the head of year said that it was the most detentions that anyone had got without being expelled. Which, believe it or not, I was quite proud of at the time. So I was in detention in the RE corridor, and it was where my sort of head of year was. And religious education corridor. And I was in detention by myself after school, and the head of year was there. He said, look, you need to stay for an hour, but I know you're not a bad kid. Just sit here. I'll be right back. I need to do some printing, which was the wrong decision. So I was left by myself for an hour in this RE room with all of the equipment in my bag. I had a full-on DIY kit in my bag for no reason. And I decided to spend my time unscrewing all of the tops off the tables, just because, like, why not? I balanced them carefully back on the legs and propped the legs up so everything was looking as normal. And left after an hour with a smug grin on my face. I hadn't quite thought this through. I thought this is the perfect crime. No one's ever going to know it was me. It's going to, at some point the next day, these are all going to fall over and no one will be able to trace it to me. I hadn't thought this fully through because I had RE at first period the next day in that exact room. So everyone sat down, got their stuff up. I was kind of nervously waiting for the moment where all these tables were going to collapse, but somehow they seemed to stay upright. The topic of the RE lesson was a kind of like a debate, sort of trying to bring everyone's ideas together. And I was one of the few Christians in the room. And I completely forgot that I'd undone these tables, thought that, you know, God had somehow superglued them back together. And this was my opportunity to share my beliefs and what I thought and how I was sort of growing in my faith on a Sunday. So I stood up and represented Christianity to the whole class. And then the teacher decides, okay, we're going to move all the tables to the side and have a debate. So everyone picks up their stuff, starts to move the tables. They collapse everywhere. And I did admit that it was me, but it completely invalidated everything that I'd said and how holy I was and everything. Yeah.
So... That gives us a good kind of how you lacked integrity in that. But can you, off the top of your head, think why you were kind of presenting two different ways?
I think that thing about sort of like it's just harder. It's harder to show integrity, and that sort of that thing about like if you feel like you want to do something, you just get an urge to do something. And your belief system, it was there, but it wasn't strong enough to really change what I felt like doing. I felt like just causing chaos and being a bit of a pain. Great. So I just was.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I remember Nick's told this story before. Nick's integrity stories, I could be here forever telling some of those ones. remember you were saying, like, when all of your friends were at school were talking about sleeping around, like, you had no desire to sleep around. You just didn't want to stick out as the one that's not sleeping around. And so he just didn't want to come up on the radar. And I remember that at school. You just don't want to hit the radar for the wrong reasons. And so you want to kind of, you want to stay underneath. So some of the reasons, protection. So in Ahab's case, he thought he was protected by wearing a disguise. In that same way, we think we're protected by going along with something, not standing out, or telling a lie, or presenting ourselves in a certain way. It's about protecting our reputation or our opportunities. And sometimes we do it to manipulate those favorable terms. There's a story of Joshua when he's just taken part of the land. The Gibeonites were a tribe that were quite locally based, but they put on clothes to make them look like they've come from a long way. And we said, well, we've been for a long way, please look after us. Oh, well, if you've come from another land, it's all right, we'll look after you. They managed to secure favorable terms by being in disguise. Adam and Eve chose to wear a disguise. They made fig leaves for clothes to cover their shame. And sometimes that's the thing that we're wearing disguise for, is because we feel ashamed. We don't want people to really know how terrible we really are. Sometimes it's to project an image, again, to look better. So in the story of David and Goliath, the Israelite army every day were dressing up in their battle array and going out singing their war chants, knowing they weren't going to fight, but they wanted to look like they were getting ready to fight. And sometimes that's why we do things to present a certain way. So if integrity is about a wholeness, a synchronicity, how are you doing? How are you getting on with this? It says in Psalm 119, with my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. How are you doing? I'm not doing too well on this basis of what we mean by integrity. If you kind of took a cross section of my brain and can see what was going on inside, yeah, I don't think I'm wholehearted. Not in my pursuit of God. There's times where, no, I'm going to go for what I want in this moment, in this situation. In the way that I love you, yeah, I blow hot and cold a lot of the time. I can't live up to this. My heart is not completely wholehearted. Am I doomed? Am I stuffed? Well, I believe the synchronicity of my half heart is sorted by knowing the truth. So I said about the freedom that comes when we know the truth. Well, Jesus says, I am the truth. So if that's what he says, let's look to him to see the answer to my shortcomings. Because if I wear a disguise, if I lack integrity for my provision, I look at him and see that he is my provider. If I choose to wear a disguise for my protection, I look at him and realize he is my protector. If I wear a disguise to cover my shame, I look on the cross and I think, this guy took my shame. He exchanged my shame for his crown. And I used this quote last week, but it's such a good one. Tim Keller said, the gospel is this: we are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. Yet at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. So what happens in this time? He makes me wholehearted. He is my basis for being wholehearted. Not trying harder, not trying to live by any rules, but discovering he has done what I need to be done. And it brings me to Psalm 86, verse 11, where it says, teach me your ways, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. I need him to fix my heart. I need him to make me wholehearted. I don't have to present that I've got it all together. I don't have it all together. But the only opinion that does actually matter is his. And he loves me. He's seen me at my worst, and he's loved me to the sky. So there is a power then in being able to live wholeheartedly. And in that story, we see an arrow is drawn at random. And what's really cool is that word at random is actually translated integrity. At that moment, without knowing the course of things, without being able to identify that that soldier dressed up is actually the enemy in disguise, that arrow was shot at random, but integrity caused it to find its mark. The power of integrity says it means that we are guided by God. Proverbs 10:9. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his way crooked will be found out. We see that in the story of Ahab. He got found out. The arrow found its mark. But in the same way, when I walk according to what God wants, there is a protection and a provision that comes to me. My dad's often told the story of when he was working in stockbroking, and one of the big boss guys, one of the partners, was in the office, and dad received a call from a client asking to speak to this partner. So dad asked the partner, "Oh, this person's on the phone." And the partner said, "Tell them I'm not here." And dad said, "I can't do that, because you're here. That would be a lie." You see the kind of almost childlikeness of, well, that's not true, I can't do that. The same as the child that saw the emperor with no clothes on and said, well, he's got no clothes on. It's just very simple. That's not the truth. So I'm not going to walk in that. And you think, he could have lost his job in some ways. He definitely could have been passed over for further promotions. He could have lost a lot of opportunities. All of the reasons that would make us want to lack integrity, make us want to put on a disguise. But if he is boss, if he is Lord, and what he wants is priority, it brings about a wholeheartedness in us. And as it turned out, there was later a dispute between a couple of the partners, and they called John into the office on the basis that they said, we can trust this guy because he doesn't lie. Actually opened up the way for him to have an influence in that setting, was he very simply just did what God called him to do. That random response was like the arrow of integrity, and it found its mark in that place. When we have integrity, we can have unity with God and with each other. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. That's powerful. If anyone's seen this movie, it's based on the true story, American Gangster. So Denzel Washington plays this drug smuggler. And Russell Crowe is this cop. And he's right at the start of the movie, you see that Russell Crowe and his partner are in a situation where they are the only people that realize that they've just uncovered a stash of money. They could easily keep it. And his partner's saying, You've got to keep this stuff. You've got to keep this money. Not just because they could get rich from it, but if everyone else in our precinct knows that you're a person of integrity, they'll never work with us. Because they know that you wouldn't let them get away with how they want to operate in a corrupt way. And in fact, they came to a point where Russell Crowe was in danger and the rest of the police force wouldn't come out to him to support him. So he's left on his own. He had to figure his way out of the situation. And so I think, man, this has gone really bad for him. But what it turns out was he was the only officer that could track down and uncover this drug gangster because he couldn't be bought off. He made a position of integrity. And when you have the saying, everyone's got a price, this guy had no price. What can you do to corrupt someone that doesn't have a price? So just kind of Oh, that's a question for you. What can you do today to become a person of greater integrity? Let's put out a few possible responses. You might have your own, and then we're going to try and answer a few questions. So, do you feel convicted today? I think, you know what, I've been wearing a disguise. I've been one way in one setting and living a different life in a different setting, like Jonty did. Don't be like Jonty. Perhaps you want to receive Jesus as your basis for integrity, your basis to have a whole heart, because he's done everything that needed to be done. My reasons for why I would want to wear a disguise, why I would want to lack integrity, are actually solved when I look at what he has done and is still doing for me. And then that last question, what can you do today to become a person of greater integrity? So have a little minute. You can talk with the person next year. If the study team want to come up to the front and we're kind of figure out how to do this next bit. So you guys just talk amongst yourselves. I've been talking for a long time.
So the first question, so can an evil person have integrity as long as they say and do what they believe? Nice, easy one to get us started.
Yes. yeah, because that's what integrity is, if you do what you believe in your heart. So obviously that's not what we're aiming for, but yes, you could say that an evil person has integrity.
I was going to say the opposite. I mean, I do agree with what Lydia said, but I think also... in some ways, the only way we can truly have integrity is through Jesus, because he's the only one who's truly sinless. And outside of him, we all fall short of the glory of God. And even sort of people in the world, I think it says in Romans that everybody has, they know sort of God's goodness and his attributes, but they kind of suppress that truth. And I think when we see evil in the world, there's a kind of suppression of the reality of God's goodness and truth that he put in creation, which I think is ultimately kind of conflicting with the reality of how things are. And I think it's only when we come into alignment with that truth that we can truly have integrity. That would be my take on it. But I think, yeah, in a kind of confused inward way, maybe someone could be deceived and thinking this is the right thing to do, and then they are kind of having integrity.
Yeah, I'd say you could have an example where a particular person could have integrity within a very narrow action. So they could have one particular belief and they could do an action that does follow that belief if they're an evil person. But I think if you take the context that our lives are in, and we're in this sort of like this finished but eternal battle between like God and the enemy, and we're kind of caught in between, we're made in the image of God, but yet we're fallen, then I think it's quite difficult to have integrity without Jesus, because there's only, you either are fully committed to him, or you're caught in this fallen world, because you can't escape being made in the image of God, regardless of if you're evil.
I think in the question, we'd have to define what is meant by evil. In any given situation, did you steal the sandwich, the last sandwich on the plate? You can be evil and still say yes and admit it. But if integrity refers to wholeness of heart, we're looking at something more than just a truth on a given occasion. We're looking at something that's complete and whole before God. So I think there's two answers, yes and no. In terms of wholeness of heart, no, you have to. The only way to do that is through giving your life to Jesus. On a given specific, yes, it is possible.
I was just going to say that evil person can never have integrity, because can you imagine, for example, I believe they don't deserve to die, so I will kill them. Let's get to that extreme. don't deserve to live, so I will kill them. So just a bit of an extreme. But if you ask them whether they want that for themselves, they will never want it for themselves, so they don't live in integrity. So an evil person will direct that toward the rest and will never want it for themselves. So that's not an integrity.
Cool. You can still put questions on the Slido.
just makes it more intense for us.
Yeah. Okay, next question. Integrity is popular today in principle, but the practice is costly and painful. What can we do if a manager talks integrity but carries on lying to keep face?
See, it's our responsibility to actually share the love of God and to introduce people to Jesus. If we're going to try and do that by correcting every wrong in the world, I think we're going to come unstuck. So we need to keep our focus on God's purpose that he's given to us. In other words, the wider issue. In terms of responding and engaging in integrity, well, of course, we can't live continuing or supporting a lie. But it's so easy to get distracted from our main purpose, to demonstrate God's heart, God's love, and God's requirement on people to surrender their lives.
Yeah, I think when you're at work, it's quite hard to remember all the time, but we're not working to serve our managers. We're not sort of slaves to them. We're slaves to Christ. And when we go to work, we're serving him in what we do. And so even though Jesus does say, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, there'll be certain things that you might not understand why your manager asks it of you, but you just do it anyway. At the same time, you're not beholden to them. You're not only going to do what they say because of the way that they act or who they are, because ultimately we're serving Christ, and Christ is perfect. He's got integrity. And so our actual manager, if you like, does have integrity, regardless of whoever's up, higher up in the sort of the work hierarchy.
Yeah, I think just adding on to that, if the manager is presenting and he does not have integrity, it is our job to stand up to him, but we have to bring it in God's love to him. And it's not going to be in a horrible way or in a like revealing way. It's just trying to...
I guess with that, it's just sensing the right moment. So sensing God's, when is the moment to bring the challenge? Because it might not always be, I think as John said, if you go around challenging everything, that would take up your full-time job. But it's kind of, it's recognizing, okay, God, when do you have for me to say something? Kind of like that arrow in the story. When is the moment to shoot the arrow that's going to have the effect that God wants rather than be a distraction or something like that?
Just on that, the thing about the arrow was, because it was at random, he didn't know how it was all going to work out. And I think that's one of the things about the childlikeness, the simplicity of the integrity is there are consequences that could happen to me, naturally speaking, that could intimidate me or cause me not to follow the way that I think is right. But I'm choosing to suspend that fear and anxiety to submit myself to what God wants. And that's where the randomness of our behavior, when it's synchronized with our beliefs in trust of God, allows us through in situations that we weren't expecting. So just referring back to my dad's story. And so I want to emphasize that point. Sometimes we think, well, what's the point in standing up for this issue right now? Because all of these bad things can happen. It's, well, that's your calculation of how it might work out. But if integrity finds its mark, this is about how God leads us in security.
Cool. Next question. What's the best way to assess my own heart to see if I'm living with integrity? Or can only someone else point this out?
Yeah, this one is quite easy with me because John is always saying, ask God, pray, search my heart and tell me what it is. And yeah, trust that he will reveal it to you.
It is the work of the Holy Spirit to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and he's more able to examine our hearts than we even ourselves will be, although he does involve us in that so often. We get that little sort of gadoing, gadoing, this is not quite right, and it's then our choice to say, okay, Lord, what would please you in this situation?
How do we live with integrity when we are faced with situations or decisions that put our beliefs and values potentially in conflict with each other?
Because God has graciously and wonderfully called us to be part of his light in the darkness. And as we all know, even a candle, the light of a candle, can't be put out by the darkness. And we have that right, that opportunity and that power, but only to do what God says at God's time, in God's way.
Okay. Condoning through silence is a sign of lack of integrity. That was a tagline for social media campaigns against isms. Is not posting on social media lacking integrity? So this would be the idea, I guess, of if there's an atrocity, something going on in the world, would posting about it be a sign of lacking integrity? Oh, sorry, it would not posting on it, sorry, be a sign of lacking integrity.
It can, on social media, there can be a real pressure to jump on board with whatever the latest fad is or whatever the latest cause is. But I think it's important to remember that whilst the world judges integrity by kind of externals, God always looks at our heart and what's in our heart. And I think it can be just as much lacking integrity to post something just because that's the right thing to do as it can be to not post something. So I think it's always in that sort of situation, just a sense of saying, okay, God, where's my heart in this? What is for me to do? It might be to post, it might not be to post, but it's not about the externals, and it's so easy to fall into that trap in this world of social media.
Yeah, and I think there's something really key there in what Jeremy said, like that God looks at the heart, and I think as a community as well, there might be something to take from that too, that in full submission to God, we can trust in him that he's searching the hearts of those of us in this community as well, and that we can't just be looking at the external things. So if with social media, it's an external thing, it's a practical, physical thing, whereas God searches the heart, and we can trust that God's working and moving here and is changing people's hearts. So yeah, just a sort of something as we see something that we might think that doesn't look like integrity, maybe just check in with God before you speak to that person as well.
Cool. Final question. Isn't lying an appropriate thing to do in some circumstances, e.g. to protect someone? Is it possible to lie and still show integrity?
Yeah, with this one, I don't think you can lie and have integrity. It's the counter of it. Once you trust in God and you trust Jesus, if you lie, that's against that. So you can't. You just have to be true. And if it means that somebody is now brought to light for whatever they've done, then there's a reason why, and God will address that.
So if you were hiding the Jews and the Nazis were at the door, you'd say, yes, I am hiding.
Yes, Jamie, good question. Do what God tells you to do at that time.
Cool. Right, that's all that we have time for. Thank you very much, team.
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Lifeline Church. We hope this message has been an encouragement to you. We are a relational church with a passion to demonstrate God's love to one another and our surrounding community in real and practical ways. We believe that God has called us to have an impact on our families, our communities, and our nation. We'd love to connect further with you, so please do visit our website at lifelinechurch.co.uk, on Facebook, lifeline.church.uk, or Twitter at lifelineuk.